You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Modern.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern.
I'm your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? Who the heck was that guy?
It's 4th of July, Alex.
Oh,
he's,
okay.
He's more Batman-y, more
you were
demonic.
Like, you were like a monster there.
Yeah. Batman's much more just like this. Batman.
Yeah, that's kind of like Batman. Yeah, that's pretty good. I was watching Spotlight last night. Did you ever watch it?
That's the one
that won Best Picture.
Yeah, I watched it. It's like that. The ending of that's like disturbing.
Yeah, it's really
when
good.
They just like list the different cities that like
it's crazy.
That kind of scandal has happened in.
Yeah, it's
in
wild.
Cities and it's just like page after, and it's not like six on a page. It's like 60, like five columns of like 10-point font of just lists of cities, and it just goes on forever.
Yeah, it's crazy. But the point of that story was that
why I'm a Jewish.
Michael Keaton's in it, and like it's just funny seeing Michael Keaton be like really dramatic, and then being like, man, it hasn't even been 30 years since you were.
But this is. I mean, maybe we could talk. Well, we'll talk about this now.
Yeah.
My dream is for them to recast Michael Keaton as Batman and do a Batman Beyond movie with like Terry McGinnis. With the Iron Man, the old future thing where he's like old disgruntled Batman with like the badass dog, and he's like,
yeah,
that'd be maybe the best thing that ever happened. Anyone knows Michael Keaton, please tell him.
I know him. I mean, I know him from Main Street.
Make this happen.
Like I couldn't be like, hey, Mike, let's talk about a movie, but like I'd be like, hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. Like I've probably met him like 4 or 5 times.
Could you be like, hey, you should do a Batman Beyond movie?
I mean, if I get the opportunity,
like, we want you to come back as Batman.
The same guy cuts both our hair, so maybe I'll ask my buddy.
Okay.
Like, when's he? Let's schedule it so we're back to back.
Let's
so
make this happen.
Chance.
All right, on to Magic: The Gathering conversations.
All right,
today. So this weekend, when I was going to the mall with my girlfriend, she was shopping, and I was sitting in that chair specifically designated for boyfriends and or girlfriends that have to wait for their significant other to shop and they have nothing to do. I decided to ask a bunch of thoughtful questions to the internet, and then after I released 20 and about 500 different tweet interactions, I was like, oh wait, maybe me and Ben should answer these questions on the podcast.
I literally thought the podcast was on fire. I thought there was I was getting so many notifications on my phone. I had no idea what was happening. I was like, why is my phone exploding? And then I noticed that Kessler had decided to stir the pot and
stirred it
and cook something. And there's a lot of
cook something great.
There's a lot of really interesting things. People had a lot of interesting things to say. Oh, is this going to be your spark? It's not, is it?
No.
Okay. Anyway, we have a bunch of fun things. He asked all these cool questions, and the point of this episode is going to be we're going to be answering the questions ourselves and then also reading some of your answers as well. So it's kind of like a mailbag episode, but don't get discouraged if you're like, I wanted a Sweet Modern interview, because there's a lot of really, really interesting stuff here that, these are all questions that like you might find yourself being like, oh, I wonder what I would say there. So, anyway.
So on that note, if you have a good answer, please answer it on Twitter. And speaking of Twitter,
we're on
Twitter. It's called a
segue. Nice.
Yeah.
It's good. We're on Twitter, at the MMCast. We're on Instagram, at the MMCast. We're on Facebook. We have a YouTube channel. It's /topdecking. You can find all of these episodes now with imagery. Our good buddy Mike Clary is now, he's producing, I guess, on some level, this show. He's producing the video for sure.
Yeah. Video producer.
We have a team. We have an intern. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And we're
growing, guys.
We're growing. And so those are up on YouTube. Also, we have a sister podcast, The Command Zone. We do Commander content. They're on rocketjump.com, just like we are. And last, of course, we're on Patreon. It allows us to make super sweet content for you guys and expand like we're doing. If you guys donate even a small amount, there's a bunch of...
That producer guy who's doing videos on the YouTube.
It's from the Patreon.
That intern.
Yeah.
That's less from the Patreon.
Yeah, well, and so anyway, you guys, like, there's different levels. Still, yeah. You can submit deck techs. We'll do them live on the show every few weeks. There's, like, a swag box option where you guys get sent cool things.
Yeah, last month, people are getting, it's like a magic origins, if you will, of Ben Bateman's personal music album and my and Top Decking Season 1 DVD.
And also a pack of Modern Masters. Yeah, Modern Masters 2. It's a little interesting box of cool stuff. And then there'll be another cool one coming. And then last, of course, and we talked about this at the top of the cast, but we are working with some guys from DMTW, which is a lifestyle brand, a clothing brand. Don't make this weird. They're awesome. We have a merch store launching very soon. We're like right on the cusp of this. And check those guys out. They do great stuff, building communities and lifestyle stuff within their communities. So they're working with us. Let's get to the show and talk about these questions.
All right, what's the best deck in Modern?
The best?
I'm going to start this. Where I started. This is the. I'm going to go in order of questions asked on the internet.
So I think it's like.
And you have to answer with what's the worst deck in Modern as well.
So it's a hard question because like you say that, but like you have to. The context of that question is really important.
I feel like.
If you say just what's
answer
the,
first and then qualify.
Well, no. What I mean is, if you want to say what's the best deck in Modern on a given week, that's an easier question. What would I play right now? Obviously, at different times, the best deck in Modern has been banned. But I think if you were going to say, what's the best deck in Modern, period, always legal and consistently legal, Affinity is the best deck in Modern. And Affinity, I would still say, has a strong argument as the best deck in Modern. Because it's the deck that you can show up to a tournament with and most likely win, have a real shot at winning the tournament with zero idea of what the metagame is. That would be my answer.
Okay. I think it's Collected Company.
It's the
Abzan Coco.
Yeah.
It's so resilient.
Yeah.
And just wins out of nowhere. And it does everything else. It's as good as what, it's almost as good as what Birthing Pod used to be. And in some ways better.
Sure.
What's the worst deck in Modern?
Ugh. 60 Relentless Rats and no lands.
Okay. What's the worst deck that has done well in a tournament in Modern? Because 40 giant growth effects and 10 forests or 50 giant and like no creatures is
right.
Probably the worst. All lands. Just.
Worst,
pure forest.
The worst deck that's you answer first.
Okay, I would say Soul Sisters.
That deck's pretty good though.
Yeah.
But I think that deck's pretty good.
It's fine.
I would probably say, God, that's if you're just the best deck that's ever done.
Like, which deck would you never take to a tournament? And worst, so like that's something I want to say that's interesting. That's the way, like a lot of these questions have different ways for these answers to be taken.
Yeah.
So a lot of people took this as what's the best deck for Modern and what's the worst deck for Modern. So I got a lot of Lantern Controls as an answer.
Yeah.
Someone answered with Jund in the sense that it's the biggest barrier to entry because it's like the most generically good deck while being one of the most expensive decks possible in the format. So there's different ways to take this. I picked Soul Sisters because it loses the Anger of the Gods, which is really good right now. Mostly due to that first deck that I said was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'd probably have to say something that's just easily hateable. Like, I mean, I would hate to say it, but like that Grand Architect Pili Pollock Elected Company combo deck that like top aided recently.
You just killed your darling.
Well, I mean, like it's I don't want to say it's the worst deck.
Killed
like,
the child.
The reason that deck is tough and like isn't particularly good is because it has two pieces of creature. It has two pieces of a combo that are both creatures that die to Lightning Bolt, and then you have to have a third thing on the board to win. So, like,
okay.
I mean, it recently did well. I guess I would have to, like, really look at the databases here to see, like, if there's a top 8 deck. I'm sure I could come up with a top 8 deck that's, like, a total piece of garbage that I'm forgetting, but recently that's a pretty
pretty bad one. Next one. What card doesn't see competitive play in Modern that you wish did?
You answer first.
Life and Loam.
Okay.
I like the style of decks that kind of pulls off. And I mean, I think part of this is if we had a cycle land in the format, it would be a little bit more likely to do well. But currently we don't. And it doesn't
play,
see a lot of play.
Competitive play, like not like a consistent top 8er or like.
Yeah, like a piece decks. Of the metagame versus like the thing you see randomly. And you're like, oh man, I haven't played against that card in like 8 months.
Yeah. I'm going to say Isochron Scepter.
Okay.
I love Isochron Scepter. It's always
silence. Like, just
yeah. Well, it's always like Isochron so close. Silence. It's always so close. It's always like oh yeah. There's like some you know oh if you put this on a scepter on the play on turn two you just win and it's like never quite works like that.
I think of the some better ones. Dave Aunt Carlo at DE Magnus A put Mir Superior.
Yeah, I mean Mir Superior.
Actually. surprisingly, the card that got the most responses was Ashiok.
I mean, Ashiok is sweet, and I was even building that deck I built the other day, that mono black one we talked about the other day on the preview card episode.
Yeah.
I totally almost like went into blue just to be like, yeah, let's just like add Ashiok to the deck. Ashiok seems sweet.
I do think it's a 3-mana planeswalker.
Yeah.
It's really good in fields with a lot of collected company, a lot of Jund.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that you're tapping out.
Speaking of 3-mana planeswalkers, but no, we'll talk about that later.
It'll be a little at the end. All right. If Wizards came to you and said you have to ban a card that top eighted the last Modern GP, which card would you choose?
Do we have the top eight of the last Modern GP in front of us? Because that would be very helpful.
I gave you this list of questions yesterday. I can answer mine. Just pick a card. It's just the point of that top eight qualifier is you can't just be like, well, I don't want them to ban a card, so let's ban Giant Growth. I'm going to keep going to Giant Growth. But like some random card
right,
that doesn't affect the format.
Sure. I would probably say the card that is seeing play that I would want to ban would be Become Immense then, because it feels like it's the card that makes that deck the most like.
It was already a good deck without it, and now it's kind of degenerate.
That deck was already super competitive, so like Become Immense is
the deck is infect for people that are confused.
Become Immense is the card that you shrug your shoulders and you're just like, really.
And all the other like major delve spells,
have
been banned. I mean, the creatures seem to be okay because they all die to terminate, but. I don't disagree with
Become Immense in the context of what it represents in a normal game of Magic is one green for +12/+12. That's not fair.
Can you guess what my answer is?
No.
It rhymes with mud dune.
Oh yeah, sure.
Actually, there's only one in the top eight.
Really?
Oh, actually, that's not this. I got through five decks and I found it and I stopped looking. So Blood Moon would be my answer. Collected Company actually was a card that a lot of people answered with.
Huh, that doesn't seem like I think that card's pretty fair. I mean, it does good stuff, but it's still super, super variant.
I think from their perspective, it's a little homogenizing. Like, every creature deck has to play Collected Company. But on my kind of perspective, it's making a lot of creature decks playable. So I don't know why I don't think you want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
It would be great if you were reading these in the order you sent me the list. That would be...
I'm reading them in the order that they were tweeted so I can see people's answers.
The answers. Okay.
Which card would you pick if that card had to be a 4 of in every modern deck you played for the rest of your life?
Which card would I pick if it had to be a 4 of? I feel like this is similar to the what card do you always want to have in your hand question.
They're similar. This is different, though, because this is, for now on, your decks have to be this.
Have to always have 4 of this?
Yeah, like the one in your opening hand, like theoretically you...
Yeah.
Don't have to play that. You just get to have that in your opening hand if you want it. It's slightly different.
Yeah, I mean, I think if we're going cards that are still legal in Modern, I just go Serum Visions. Just like
I have Serum Visions as my pick. I think there's a few good choices.
Bolt
is a decent one. Any of the fetch lands, but like I kind of thought that was like cheating.
It's just a cheap answer.
A lot of people pick Snapcaster Mage,
but that's my answer to the other question.
Okay, yeah, I think Bolt and Serum Visions are probably... And Thoughtseize. But I think Thoughtseize is a better answer to the other one. All right, so...
Let's go to the other one then.
Well, I'm gonna see what people said. Any of the good ones? A lot of people... Gitaxian Probe was an interesting one.
Yeah, I mean, I love Probe. Probe is such a free roll.
Because it's a free roll. Yeah, it's the least limiting on what deck you're playing. Because worst case scenario, you just have a card that's okay in a deck that you're going to lose some life with it.
Right.
The weirdest one was someone said Ensnaring Bridge, Cal Sinan at Zor 666. And I was like, that'll make your deck very specific forever.
I wish somebody said something like a really, really weird, like Calcederm or something like that.
I got nothing.
All right.
You get to choose the next card Wizards unbans. And if it fails to top eight the next Modern GP, you get $1,000,000. Which do you choose?
Yeah, this is a hard one. I saw this is one of the ones that I was reading when I was looking at the interaction. Somebody said Summer Bloom, and I thought that was really interesting because
it was Austin Bach, I think, said Summer
Bloom. Oh, did he? Was it Austin? I thought that was a really interesting answer because, like, yeah, chances are if you unban Summer Bloom, like, maybe, but like it was legal for so long and it had so few.
Well,
actual
that had to
top
do with
eights.
People not realizing the deck.
Yeah, but even at the end when people did realize, like there was like once that it put 2 in a top 8, but it was never like 5. It was never like 9 out of 16. Like it was like of a pro tour.
Sure, but it had a pretty consistent placement in the top 8.
I think I mean, if the world GP. Wasn't aware of the $1 million challenge and like wasn't incentivized to play the deck for that reason.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that like, oh man, I get to play my deck again. Like all those people that played it would play it again. A lot of pros also were like, it's wrong not to play this deck.
Yeah, I still think that's probably my answer. Summer Bloom. It seems like a reasonable bet. The other ones, the information, like you're dealing with.
I think there's some cards that are. I think I have the correct answer, and I think
my other answer actually would be Dread Return, and it would be because it's another example of this is just it's just a card that's in the graveyard that can be removed by graveyard.
Right. Well, and that's one I think also gets hit by more than even Summer Bloom because I think Summer Bloom is harder to hate out. That's a card that I think gets hated by. Immediately after an unbanning PT ban syndrome, which is, you know, when Wandacaddle was unbanned, everyone's like, well, I should be able to beat Zoo.
Right.
If I can't beat Zoo, then I'm not, that's a problem. So, like, it didn't do well. And Dread Return should be like, oh, I just need a decent amount of graveyard hate in my sideboard, no matter what, this tournament. Mine is Tree of Tales.
You just think you unban one artifact
land? The one green artifact land.
That's such a cheap answer.
It's the correct one. I would guarantee get that $1 million.
If I
wanted to risk it a little bit, I think either Second Sunrise or the Storm Seething Song both kind of have a chance to, like, I don't know how good Storm is right now in the format. Maybe Seething Song puts it over the top. Second Sunrise, I definitely think. I think Eggs is like a weird deck that
I think
doesn't you, necessarily.
I think if you unban Second Sunrise, like I think Eggs very, very likely top eights because that deck is incredibly hard. It's like Summer Bloom, except it doesn't require you to have like those pieces in your opening hand as much.
Eggs is easier to hate out than because you like Eggs. You can have graveyard hate. You can have any type of rule of law effect.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't disagree with you. I mean, Tree of Tales is the answer if I want to win that $1 million.
For the record, guys,
this isn't what I want to unban.
It should be plainly obvious that one of us wrote all of these questions and had a weekend to think about the answers, and the other one got the questions late at night last night.
I mean, you could have also looked at the Twitter that we both have access to.
I did. I looked at it, but I'm saying you clearly wrote and interacted on all these questions.
Hey, I should be being applauded celebrated for writing
for
all of these out and then sending them to you as a good producer for this podcast.
I think they're great.
You are given the choice to unban Jace, but if you do, you are banned from ever playing it yourself in a game of Modern. Do you?
No. Why on earth would anyone answer yes to that question?
Well,
you're talking about.
I mean, the question is interesting because it kind of makes it forces the hypocrisy of people wanting to unban Jace into the open. That's what I kind of wrote it as, in the sense that. The only reason people want to unban Jace is so they get to play with it. Because Jace is fun to play with. But when you really think about it, is Jace good for the modern format? No, it's not. And so you shouldn't unban it.
I just think that that's an absurd question because why would you... I would answer no on any question, any card, any single card. Even if I wanted the card healthily
so
in the format.
If I said this card would make the format the best, this will be good for the format. You would say, but you can't play it. You would still not let it be unbanned.
I mean, okay. So if you're saying like for the greater good, like,
yeah.
But then you're essentially saying, so you're willing to quit playing Modern then, because like I don't want to play in a format where I don't have access to every card. That
but
seems
if
ridiculous.
If Jace is first off, that's kind of the point. Is if Jace is unbanned, it's going to be expensive enough where there's a significant amount of people that won't be able to play him.
True.
So it can't see enough play where it becomes that ubiquitous. So the point is Jace healthy enough to unban? The answer is no.
No.
Because you would need to be able to play with it.
So okay, I understand that now the nature of the question a bit better. In this particular case of Jace, he is not a healthy unban.
Sure.
No question.
Is there any other other than the ones we just mentioned of the cool cards on the ban list? Bloodbraid Elf, Deathrite Shaman, Stoneforge Mystic. Any of those that you think would be healthy for the format, but you'd be fine not playing them ever again?
Or
do you think it would be okay if people weren't be able to, like, because a lot of these cards will be expensive.
Yeah, I mean, like, okay.
Like, it would be hard for me to say this yes to Stoneforge Mystic, even though I think it'd be okay in the format.
Yeah.
I probably could say yes to Bloodbraid Elf.
I think Bloodbraid could come back. We've talked about that before, and Bloodbraid wouldn't be too expensive. I actually think that your point you make is really interesting about one artifact land. It's a weird choice for them to unban one artifact land.
Sure.
But, like, I don't know if it would be, I mean, I guess it just makes Affinity better.
I think so. It depends. So Affinity becomes a little bit more Glass Cannony because they have an extra artifact that can destroy and wreck them. That's why I said the green one, because really the best thing green gets, Affinity gets out of the green one is Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
Tezzerator decks get a better access to splashing green, which is good because Abrupt Decay is really good for them because they need to get rid of Stony Silence.
Yeah. They also just get, they just also get another artifact land to be able to hit with like Tezzeret.
Yeah. But then it's another colorless land, so that is an issue. So there's arguments for it. I think it does something interesting. I think the blue one by itself would be really cool.
Yeah.
I think it might be a little too strong, but I think it does a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more versatility with it. Or the red, like one, the blue or the red one, I think offer like, it does cool awesome. Things with other cards.
Yeah, that's a good point. How many of the cards left on the ban list at this point are like absolutely no question should never be legal in Modern? Like, there's a few of them. There's like Skullclamp. There's like
the Mox.
Yeah, Chrome Mox.
I was actually looking at Hypergenesis, and I decided I don't know how bad Hypergenesis would be in the format.
Yeah, I mean, there's only a few.
Cascade and the Emrakul, but they'd have to have Emrakul on their hand. That's a turn three play.
Somebody suggested that you could unban Jitte. I don't think you can unban Jitte. That card's absurd. I think the card's busted.
Yeah, with Splinter Twin gone, Jitte seems too good.
The problem with Jitte that a lot of people don't realize is that it triggers off of dealing combat damage. Well,
I think the person realizes it.
I'm sure that person does it. A lot of people don't realize it because they haven't played with Jitte because it's never legal in Modern. But what they don't understand is that the creature goes into combat, even trades with another creature, and now the Jitte has two counters on it.
Well, that's I think the more broken thing. That the counters go on Jitte.
On Jitte, exactly. And then you can remove them even if the creature's dead.
Yeah.
So it's just like this really... I mean, also, like, for the record, I feel that playing against Jitte is the most unfair thing in the world because I play one kind of deck in every format, and all of the decks are like a bunch of decks with, like, 2 and 3-1 flyers, so, like, get wrecked.
Here's the deal. I've played a bit of Legacy, and in Mono Black Pox, a deck that shouldn't have a problem with Jitte was one of the scariest cards I could see across the table from me.
Yeah.
In any of the creature decks I've played, Jitte is one of the scariest cards I can see across from me. In Miracles, Jitte is one of the scarier cards you can see across from me, just because there's so many things that card does. Miracles is probably the least scary, because you have Infinite Termini, but it's still a problem.
Did you just say Infinite Termini?
Isn't the plural of Terminus?
I don't know if there's a plural of Terminus.
Well, I made it up. It's Termini.
I don't think there's a plural.
Let's move on. All right. You're guaranteed to win the next Modern GP regardless of deck choice. Which deck do you play?
Do you have to answer this with like a real deck?
No. You can any deck you want to say. You automatically will win it no matter what.
Superior Burning Cocoa. Hands down.
Yeah. The point of this is... There's a lot of tools. First off, you're going to win a GP. So, A, what deck would you be willing to spend 15 rounds going, knowing that you're going to win? Like, you get to be the most relaxed you want to be for that tournament. You're going to have the most fun. Two, what deck would you want to build a name for? By winning a GP with a deck, you automatically make it a piece of this format. Even if maybe it doesn't deserve it, for at least a couple months, people are going to think it's a good deck. So there's definitely a lot of different reasons to kind of want to do this. I picked Dredge for similar reasons to supporting Cocoa, which in the sense that I would just have the most fun all weekend dredging, like playing Dredge Vine, because the way that deck plays is very fun for me.
Yeah.
A lot of dirtling and then I win.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was my answer.
Yeah, Cocoa for me, just because it'd be so shenanigans to see people everybody sporting like a play set of Spellskites and a play set of Mirror Superiorians like all weekend.
I think burn is technically the correct answer. If you want to be technical on correctness for this question of if you want to win a GP, just because you get the most breaks in between rounds, so you get to kind of just hang out all day.
Well, I don't know if there's a correct answer for this, but just quickly, for those of you
Minotaur
that have...
Minotaur Tribal was my favorite answer.
For those of you that have followed the whole entire saga of the Superior Burning Cocoa, and you know how obsessed I am with trying to figure out other ways to cast Mirror Superior in Modern, I forgot about Magus of the Vineyard. Do you remember this card?
So
your opponent gets the two green first, if you play it on turn one.
Okay.
They have to have some way to use it. You can vial it in, yep. But then you get double green out of Magus the Vineyard, and you can cast your thing off it. It also means that if you play it on turn one, and they're not able to kill it, you can just cast Collected Company on turn two.
Sure.
So actually, it seems stupid because you're giving your opponent mana before you ever get it.
They also might be able to cast Collected Company on turn two. If they're on the play. Or on the, yeah, on the play.
Well, you wouldn't have it in play yet.
They cast it, turn one. They play turn one.
Yeah.
You cast it, turn one.
Yeah.
They go on their turn two.
Oh, yeah. So
cast collect the company.
True. Yeah.
I think it's not as good in modern because green is a tier one color.
Yeah.
Versus something like legacy where green is less good. So it's really just they get colorless mana.
Yeah.
And you're in playing Birthing Pot or something. I don't know.
I mean, it seems bad, but it also seems interesting and like totally like never discussed. It's a pretty big bonus.
Sure. All right. Do you high roll or do you even odd?
Do I high roll?
Most often. Or do you decide who goes first in a different way?
I high roll for who goes first.
Okay. Yeah. I even odd.
Okay.
So the reason I even odd, I would say, and this is a quick question, but 20-sided die are not evenly randomly distributed.
Okay.
And a lot of time that's the dice people have. And so I like even odding.
Got it. Yeah. People try to roll spin down.
It also is a lot quicker. Because you just roll it, and then you're done, and then you move on.
I always roll two sixers. That's my...
But then two people. And then you have to count. Yours is the longest one. You have to do math with yours. And I start retweeting people. What's the most expensive card you own?
At this point?
Yeah.
I've sold everything I own several times now. I think probably the most expensive card I own, it can't be much more than like $100. Like, I don't even know. Vryn's Prodigy or something like that. Maybe.
Okay.
I have a Mind Sculptor? I might have a Mind Sculptor now that I think about it.
Okay.
Can't really remember. What about you?
It's a Comic-Con exclusive Jace Vryn's Prodigy.
Jace Vryn's
Prodigy. I looked it up. I have like a foil Scalding Tarn and a foil Snapcaster Mage, and both of those are kind of like in the 200 range.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's by far just like the next level up.
Before,
I don't think I have an Abyss and I have another Void, but I think both of those are still in the 100, 200, like they're like $200.
Yeah.
I think like just that Comic-Con exclusive is just worth.
Yeah. I think before I sold my collection when I had a Legacy deck, I had like a revised Underground Sea.
Okay.
And that was probably at the time my most expensive card.
What's the least expensive card you own that you love the most?
Oh, that's a good question. I saw this one. I thought a lot about this one. I mean, it's probably some stupid common. That's probably some stupid common. I don't know. I would have said before.
It doesn't have to be the least expensive. Like a card that's
Yeah. You know, what I would have said before is the Full Art Game Day Superior promo. The foil. Except that I think that's gone up now because I think people have been trying to play that card. I think when we were talking about it a lot last summer, there started to be more interest in general. I think people were trying to build it.
Have we affected the market?
Like, I don't think by much, but like, I just think that it's been long enough since that card was printed.
Sure.
And people are like, oh, this is kind of interesting with company, and it's a little interesting with Vial. So,
right.
I think it's like maybe a buck or two as opposed to being like a quarter.
I think a buck or two is.
I'd
allow that as a card you picked.
Yeah. I think that still would probably be my. I mean, the thing is, a lot of cards that same thing with Architect, it ended up going up in price. Architect used to not be worth anything.
Sure. Mana Tithe. Or not Mana Tithe. Sorry, wrong. Just Tithe. Straight up Tithe.
Is that not worth it?
It's like worth like 10 cents.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
For those who don't know what Tithe is, because it's not a modern card, it's one white.
Yeah.
If you can search your deck for a plains, but if your opponent has more lands than you, you get two plains.
Sweet.
I pretty exclusively play it in EDH. It's on the reserve list of all places to be. I have a really sweet full-arted one.
Yeah. I also have a handful of another card. A lot of these cards I love have gone up in price. The same thing with I had the FNM promo Tidehollow Scholar foil that I had bought at one point for $1. That was so cool, and like now that's like I feel like that foil's over $10.
That was what's really hard about this question is like there's a lot of cards I love, but I'm like, oh, that's not cheap.
Yeah,
I guess I have like an original playset from drafting Zendikar of Hedron Crabs.
Yeah,
that I definitely just like. We'll have forever and love those four things. And
yeah,
they're cool. Actually, he shows up later in this conversation.
Yeah, I'll bet. The other answer I was going to give was there for Highlander. You know, we try to foil out our decks. That's the point.
Uh-huh.
So you end up looking for what's the coolest foil version of a card. Sometimes you'll look and you'll be like, oh, I would like to get this, and then you're like, wow, it's only like $1.50, and you expect it's like $12. Sure. So I have a couple that are like really, really odd and like never seen. There's a split card from, I think, Apocalypse called Life Death, a green-black card. that I have.
Yeah, I know. I learned a life def.
I have the F&M foil promo of that.
Oh, cool.
That I bought, which is really sweet. That I think cost me like a buck. I got the DCI F&M foil of Grizzly Salvage, which I think was really cool. I like that one a lot. I thought that was.
Of those kind of cards, random. Oh, there's one. Oh, Sark on the Mad. I have a Sark on the Mad from.
Yeah.
That and I love Eldrazi. That was the first deck I ever took to a PTQ was a black red Sark on the Mad deck. Not good.
I opened a Sarkon in a draft once, I remember.
I lost to Spreading Seas all day.
Sweet. All right.
Moving on.
Sorry, one more answer. One more answer. Because this is a really cool thing that some people might not know about. So when they printed 7th, 8th, and 9th editions, those were the first sets that had foils. That were white-bordered sets, though. And the foils in those sets had black borders.
Sure. I have a foil counterspell from that set.
Yeah.
Signed by Richard Garfield, I think, actually, which is sick.
Yeah, and so 8th edition...
Not too expensive for me to list here.
8th edition had the new border, but 7th edition didn't. 7th edition had the old border. So 7th edition cards are old-bordered core set cards that you can get foils of, and the foils are black-bordered. It's very weird, and they're very rare. They didn't make that many of them. There's a foil counterspell you can get. So I think I have a foil.
We just mentioned that.
What?
You weren't paying attention to me.
Just right now?
Yeah.
You just said it.
I said I have a foil counterspell from that set.
Oh,
it's
you
signed by Richard Garfield.
Just right now?
Yeah.
I had a stroke just right now?
You didn't. That's insane. That's amazing. All right, continue. And, I'm glad you pay attention.
And I have a foil opportunity that I bought.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's different art. Cool. That's the other thing. It's the only time they ever use this weird art.
I guess one of my favorite cards I own, period. It's hilarious. I do have the foil time stop from 10th edition that has no reminder text.
Yeah, there's a foil time stop from 10th edition that has no reminder text. Just kidding.
God. All right. If you could choose a card to never play against again in Modern, what would it be?
Oh, I mean, I think that has to just be Blood Moon. It's just... it's got
to
be.
So I have an interesting answer to this. I choose Lightning Bolt.
Oh, really?
Well, so look at it this way. Blood Moon is a card that I would like emotionally to never... Like the funness of it goes away. But Lightning Bolt lets me build my deck. Like, if I know this ahead of time, Lightning Bolt lets me build my deck. I get to play with so many cool cards that I can't play with currently.
The other one...
Plus, I never get to play against Burn.
The other one for me, actually, to be honest with you, is probably Path to Exile. And there's actually an argument...
I had that originally listed and... And I moved to Lightning Bolt because Path doesn't really let me change what my deck does that much.
Well, there's an argument to be made, actually, that Modern would be better without Path.
I don't know if that's true.
I mean, it's
you need cards that can get rid of Grizzlebrand and.
I mean, it's not the only. But I'm saying there is an argument to be made just because it does get rid of some of the higher profile threats, but it also limits a lot of the things you can do. Like, it's lame in a lot of ways when you do find a way to get like a. Well, anyway, I'm just going to ramble on this, but I think in the same way you could make the argument that would Bonner be better without Lightning Bolt, you could make that same argument for Path.
Okay. This is one of my favorite questions. If you could give any land a basic land type, mountain, forest, swamp, island, plains, which land would you give it to on which type?
Okay, so this is what I was
so
a little
example
confused
would
on.
Be Urborg gets type swamp, so you can fetch for
so
it.
You can fetch
Valakut
for it.
Gets
that's
type mountain, so you could fetch for it.
Okay, so what's your answer?
Mine's the blue-green bounce land, Simic Growth Chamber.
You want it to be a forest?
Or an island. I think island is better for me in life. I think it's cool for a bounce land to have fetch because you can use it in response to removal to a land. It, like, the utility on it is way higher than I even... Like, I was looking at different cards.
Yeah.
My original thought was Tolaria Academy or Academy Ruins.
Academy Ruins, yeah.
Where it's, you know, you get to... But then I was like, I can do something. I think the bounce land. A bounce land, blue-green being the one I picked because I think it goes in the most variety of decks.
Two answers. Answer one is probably like a man land. So either like Creeping Tar Pit or Treetop Village.
Treetop Village? Oh, okay. Yeah.
So Treetop Village either being a forest or Creeping Tar Pit being like an island. But I think my actual answer is that I think I just want Horizon Canopy to be a forest. Because I think I just want to be able to have two of those.
Fetch, draw card?
Yeah. I think I just want to be able to have two Horizon Canopies in single mana base ever. And then, like, when you draw that fetch mid-game, you're just like, this just represents me being able to pay one life, and then I get this thing, I just draw a card.
Sure.
Yeah. That seems sweet.
If you could guarantee... let's see if there are any... No, okay. We're moving on. I didn't look. If you can guarantee having one card in your hand, every opening hand, which card would you pick?
Snapcaster Mage.
Thoughtseize.
Yeah. I mean, it's, obviously Thoughtseize is the better, like, turn one play. But
it's,
I just,
it's the one that I will always be able to do something
yeah.
to my prevent my opponent from killing me a little bit.
Yeah.
No matter what they have.
I just remember, like, when Splinter Tomb is a thing and we would ask, I think I asked that question to Eugene.
Okay.
When he was playing a lot of Splinter Tomb.
Sure.
And I think I said, "What's like? What do you want to see in your opening hand? What's the card?" And he was like, "Snapcaster Mage." And I was like, "Yeah."
Leyland of Sanctity was one of the better answers.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Eldrazi Temple.
Yep.
I think the actual correct answer, once again, Gemstone Cavern.
Yeah. Correct answer.
All right. If you could have, and I think actually Wedge from the Mana Source.
Yeah.
Gemstone. Yeah. If you could have any one dragon be tier one playable card, which would it be? Same question for all the other iconics of Hydra, Sphinx, Angel, and Demon.
Oh, I totally misunderstood this question. Sorry. So you're saying
if any dragon.
Any dragon be a tier one playable card.
Is like the funness of that card is now a tier one playable card.
I thought you were asking which of the iconic tier one tribes would you want to be a tier one tribe?
No.
That's okay. I can at least.
Do you want me to go through mine while you? Because I have my list.
Yeah, go through your list, and I'll see if I can quickly match you. Because I think I probably.
And I tried staying away from alternative color versions. Like I don't have like originally I had Skitherix as my dragon, but I was like, it's kind of not working with. Then black gets too. But Malfagor, which is the closest to not following this rule.
He's a demon.
Well, he's a dragon, demon, I guess.
So you're saying that for demon, or you're saying that for dragon?
Dragon. All right, let's get back to dragon. Bizzle Persecutor for demon.
Okay.
6/6 for 4, you can't win the game. I think it's a sweet card. I think it's close, too. Consecrated Sphinx for blue, for Sphinx.
Yep.
Why not? Hooded Hydra for Hydras.
Hooded Hydra?
Yeah, it's the one that like makes a bunch of snake tokens when he dies.
Yeah.
And you can manifest him, and it's sweet.
All right.
Admonition Angel is probably the most oddball. And that's one that has Landfall, Path to Exile, or Exiles of Things.
Choosing some weird answers here, buddy. Oh, I guess. Yeah, okay.
And then... Avarice Dragon, if I had to not choose Malfagor, because Malfagor is sweet, but Avarice Dragon.
Yeah.
Which is the 4-drop red one that you discard your hand, but then you draw 2 cards at the beginning of your turn.
Sure.
It's a 4/4/4. Which, like, I would say of those, that and Abyssal Persecutor are probably the closest to being playable.
Yeah, Abyssal Persecutor is pretty close. I mean, Abyssal Persecutor, it was never legit in Modern, but it's been.
Sure. And part of this question is. The effect and the card is cool because like who cares, it's playable. You're not saying what do you think is maybe playable, you're saying this card is playable, so you don't have to be as beholden to actual power level,
right? So what we're going to do for my answer on this one, because I'm being put on the spot here, is I will answer this at the end.
Okay.
I'm gonna sort of peruse here while we're talking and make sure I can see if I can get 5 that are I'm happy with. Oh sweet, I like that card. All right, that's
some other answers. Dragonlord Ojutai.
The card's really sweet.
Alashit. I can't say this. Ulashit. Alashit.
I'm not sure.
There's no I. Okay. The Hate Seed.
Oh yeah, Ulasht, the Hate Seed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So
it's Sphinx, Demon, Dragon,
Hydra,
Angel.
Angel.
Okay.
Kalini Hydra, which is the like.
Yeah, that card's really sweet.
Like all of the devotion.
Yeah, that card's good.
All right, moving on. Oh, actually the best answer, and this is from Jonathan Wilson, is Chameleon Colossus, Mold's Demon.
I like Chameleon Colossus. I just tried fitting a Chameleon Colossus, a one of Chameleon Colossus, into my Zombies deck with the black Relentless Dead.
Oh, okay.
Because like I figured like it's if you can you like discard it to your Lilith Troll or to your Fauna Shaman at some point, and then like mid game when your Relentless Dead dies, and you're just like, I have mana, sure, I'll pay 4, and I get back.
Oh, cool.
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't hate that. Next question. If you could eat an animal depicted on a magic card, which card would you pick?
If I could eat an animal depicted, yeah. What's the new donate that has cats on it? What is it? No, just kidding.
Wow. It's messed up. Ben likes eating cats. I'm actually allergic to cats. I couldn't do that even if I wanted to.
Maybe like brindle boar or something.
Okay. I was thinking some boars. I went with hedging crab.
You just want to eat the crab?
Yeah. I love crab.
Giant. Is there like a giant crab card?
Yeah.
There is, right?
Oh, giant crab.
Yeah.
That's just a card.
Giant lobster or something.
Yeah, that's also a card. That's the best. All the seafood. It's like definitely an easier to get to seafood kind of deal. Any other good interestings on this? Someone free-range chicken.
Oh, that's good.
Giant tortoise. Oh, yeah. I actually got a lot of blessed unicorn.
Blessed people want to eat the unicorn.
And I was like, well, because you know, in Harry Potter, I don't know how much you Harry Potter. I guess
I don't. I mean, I like Harry Potter, but...
right? But like the first one is all about like Voldemort's eating unicorn. It's like turning him into,
yeah,
like a monster.
Okay.
So no one reads the warnings. All right. And someone actually did say Brindlebore.
Sweet.
So there you go.
It gives me life and meat.
Yeah. you get to have dinner with a planeswalker. Which one do you get dinner with?
It's a tough one. It's a real hard question to answer.
Yeah.
What's your answer?
I picked Karn.
Yeah.
I think he'd be a nice guy. I think he'd have a lot of interesting stories to tell.
He'd be very wise.
Yeah, he'd be a cheap date because he doesn't... I don't think he eats. He's a robot.
Yeah, I mean, so I like that as an answer. My thought on this one was I had a couple, right? So I'd like to think that Tezzeret would be a rad dude. I'd like to think
that. He's got dreadlocks, likes to hang out.
Yeah, but I really don't know, and like he's a little bit unpredictable. At the same time, I'd like to think that Jace would be a cool dude, but he might just be super emo and just sit there and like not talk very much.
Also, it'd be really awkward because you'd be like, oh, this like... Like you'd like think of like things that you wouldn't tell a person and they'd be like, oh, what did you say about me?
Yeah. So both of those, I'm just sort of like, I'm not really exactly sure.
Chandra would be fun. Chandra's on my list because food would always be warm.
My final thought was it's just got to be a Johnny. It has to be.
Oh, John'd be sick.
Because Johnny is basically getting to have dinner with Obi-Wan Kenobi.
He like definitely has Jorah the Andal's voice.
Yeah, exactly. Right? So I think a Johnny Vengeant is the one that I'd want to have dinner with.
Okay.
Because at that point, he's got one eye, or he's always had one eye.
Yeah.
But at that point, he's like pretty like...
You won't want Mentor of Heroes where he'd start teaching you stuff?
Yeah, I mean, I did think about
he'd give you a lightsaber.
The older one who like seems like he has a cane, kind of almost.
Yeah, you get a magic sword out of every meal.
Yeah, I think at Johnny's...
I like a Johnny. Johnny's
sick. I think
it's
the correct answer.
Okay.
I think it's the correct answer, Khaleesi.
You could do better. Yeah. I've heard you do better.
Yeah, okay.
You need to be more gravitas.
Yeah.
Like down in the throat.
All right. I'll save it for later.
I'm Jorah the Andal. all right.
How many of our listeners have we lost in this episode by now? Just like, what are you guys
in the
doing?
Real world, you gain the ability of a single magic card. Like you actually gain the power as a magic, like a superpower. Which card would you choose?
Like a keyword or what?
No, you get to do the magic card.
Like I can, like I have a lightning bolt or...
Yeah, you get to shoot lightning bolts if you choose lightning bolt.
Man, I mean, like, so, like, part of me just wants to be like, all right, levitation. I just want to be able to fly. Like,
sure.
I mean,
the card doesn't have to be good for you to pick it.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably my initial. I'll see if I can think of a bit
better. It's like teleport. It's one a lot of people said.
Yeah.
I picked fire ice.
Because you both? You're such a cheater.
I really want ice, and I didn't know what else to choose. And I was like, well, I'll take fire also. Fire ice.
Yeah.
If I were to like create a superhero in a comic book, that would actually probably be the power I would start with. I like the dichotomy of temperature and cold, and heat,
right.
Hot versus cold. And
here's the question though. So like
theoretically, I'd also let you pick an equipment to just have.
Yeah. But like, here's the question. So like, all right, let's take things. Okay. If I choose that electrolyze is my power, so I can like split some sort of like lightning, what does draw a card in real life represent?
You get smarter.
So I like get to zap people and get smarter every time. Yeah. I use my power.
You like suck brain power when you zap them.
I might just like have Cryptic Command somehow. If we could somehow find a way for Cryptic Command to just like be a thing.
You get to do everything.
Yeah. No, I think probably just I go with my initial answer, which is just levitation.
Okay. Omniscience was a good one, someone said.
Oh yeah, omniscience is totally unfair.
If you could ask Mark Rosewater, yeah, head designer of Magic the Gathering, any one question, and he had to answer it honestly, no matter what question do you ask him?
How much money would we have to raise in a GoFundMe or Kickstarter to get you to just go back to Time Spiral as a normal standard playable set? Like,
oh,
to Time Spiral 2. What does that what do we have to do to make that happen? Because as much as I think Modern Masters, Eternal Masters, Modern Masters 2, those expansions are fun, and they are. They're super sweet. I want standard to be like running amok with... I just want to go back. I just want new versions of all of those legendary. I want Ith Hyarcanist and Joyra and all those characters coming back. And I want new versions that are standard playable.
I think Teferi and Joyra could come. I think they're both still alive.
Yeah.
I might be wrong. Mine was, what are the themes of the sets in your seven-year plan?
Because he has seven
years
planned
out. So Wizards have the next 7 years planned out. What are the themes of each set in those 7 years?
Just because you just can't wait.
I want to know.
Yeah.
Especially if I only know, then I can like do more predicting the future because I know the future.
You really believe that you are like you're the called shot guy.
No, I mean, I messed up on Liliana's oath pretty hard. Actually, but that oath call was actually kind of close. One of the abilities is basically what her second ability is.
It's a pretty good oath.
I like the oath a lot. The Liliana card I'm less enthused by. If you get to create a sixth color of magic, where would it be located?
I like this question. This is cool. I like it sort of. It's sort of like I would like there to be some sort of urban cityscape sort of
so
a thing.
So cities? Okay.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know what the color really is.
Purple.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they've said before.
Orange. Those are like the two options, really.
Yeah, I guess purple, if you're going to go city, makes sense. Yeah. But
I'd go with purple, but I'd say glaciers.
Glaciers.
Yeah, I think ice magic could be taken out of red and blue and put into its own kind of thing and given a lot of cool...
Blue touches on ice a lot.
Yeah, so I'm taking that from blue. I think blue has enough with water and sky that I think someone else could mess with ice. And there's red-ish things to ice that they don't use as much. Like there's the cold blast or whatever from that set that I always forget that's part of Ice Age block but is in modern.
Cold snap. Cold blast?
I think so. I don't know. It's not called cold blast. It's called something else. But it's like an ice burn spell. But then also, like, I think blinking can also be kind of ice themed, and like, there's
I guess there's color bleed. I guess there is color bleed on every color, so like that is just something that, yeah,
sure. But yeah, ice. I'm gonna go with ice themed. If you could make a single silver bordered card legal in modern, which would you choose?
I don't dignify this question, so you can answer it. I dislike these sets.
Really, nothing. Like, you wouldn't want like.
Like I just like I like try my best. Like there was a brief period at one point.
Like, but there's like cool like all of the packs come from turbo powered slug.
The packs do?
Yeah, because turbo it came into play and then you paid for it the next turn. That was its like ability. It had super haste.
Turbo powered slug. Rocket powered turbo slug.
Yes.
4 mana super haste.
Super haste is the ability that the packs are based
on. You play it.
All right, well, while you're reading, I'm going to pick a Booster Tutor. I mean, obviously, it's ridiculous. I don't think this would be...
This is like the card that always ends up in people's cubes.
Yeah. It's maybe my favorite card they've ever played with in cube. But basically, you just got to show to a tournament with like a suitcase filled with random packs from random sets. And just like, it's never going to be too powerful because it's always like... It's never going to be powerful than a draft deck could optimally be.
Right.
So, like, it's always going to be sweet. And you could even limit it to be modern legal, though I think you just take Modern Masters packs with you, and that's what you open.
Yeah. I guess it seems fun enough.
Yeah. I'm picking that one. It'd be sweet. All right.
God, I'm finding all these sweet cards to answer that question.
Silver bordered?
No. I have my demon, I have my dragon, I have my sphinx, so I need my angel, and I need my what else?
Demon, dragon, sphinx, angel, hydra.
Oh, I have my Hydra. Great. So I just got to find my angel.
You have four? You need five.
Yeah. I guess.
Which previously minimally supported creature tribe would you want to be a draft archetype in the next block?
Rogue.
Okay.
It was only really supported in Morningtide. Like they in Lorwyn Morningtide. But they've made a bunch of sweet creatures that we know of that are rogues. I've talked about it on here before, but it's close. So if you gave us like some really sick rogue payoff, I think that actually would be like a really, really, really fun thing. Yeah, just gonna.
No, yeah. I don't disagree with you. I had an answer for this, but it's not there anymore. So I'm going to go with Cephalids.
Cephalids?
No, I don't know. I had something and I didn't write it down.
Do you want to say Kithkin maybe?
No, I hate Kithkin.
Yeah, I don't like Kithkin either.
I like Kor way more than Kithkin.
Yeah,
Kor. But Kor's got... Part of this is like unsupported. So like Kor has had two sets where Kor was a tribe.
Yeah.
That they like draft. And arguably maybe even three because there's the Ilkor or whatever.
Yeah.
The
other one here that I think you could make an argument for, and this is contrary.
Oh, I remember what it is. Sorry, Pirates.
Pirates? When did they go for Pirates?
Pirates have... They've never gone for it. I want them
ever.
To go for it.
They've never even done
it. First off, I want to go to pirate-themed land. Oh, the other one was Dinosaurs.
What do we have dinosaurs?
There's only one dinosaur, and it's an unglued card. Old fogey.
Is Allosaurus rider not a dinosaur? Not a dinosaur?
He's a rider, so he's like an elf.
Huh.
But like even like all the raptor. There's lizard beasts. There's a lot of lizard beasts out there, and I just want them to come out with dinosaur.
I think the other answer, and it's contrary to my normal attitude, is snakes.
Okay. That's also been supported, though.
Only once. Ever. In sure. Kamigawa.
It was that's previously been supported.
Yeah, but like if you brought it back, it could actually... Oh, okay. You're saying
which
a
previously minimally supported creature type tribe would... Well, draft... In a draft, you're kind of guaranteed some cards that might push it towards playability.
Right.
Like, yeah. But, okay.
Yeah, all right.
Moving on. If you could add any one non-core set to Modern, which would you add?
Add any one non-core set to Modern, which would you add?
And I would say in the heart of keeping this piece, like, in the heart of the question, also not Modern, like not Eternal Masters, not
yeah,
Conspiracy.
Yeah.
Like regular booster set.
Well, here's the hard thing about that answer, because basically, if you go for one of the really powerful sets that's not in it, you immediately have to ban cards. Because you can't add Saga without banning Talarian Academy and Gaia's Cradle.
Sure. Well, but part of this question isn't which powerful cards would you want in the set. It's which set do you think would be fine but adds interesting things to the format.
That's sort of what I mean. It's like, so there's obvious answers. Like, that's in terms of just adding things that are not in Modern that are just like, oh, it'd be so sweet. Saga is the answer, but that would be horrible. It would be.
It wouldn't be sweet. It would be horrible.
Yeah. Super overpowered.
Odyssey was my first inclination. Mm. Entomb seems really sweet to have in the format, and maybe too good, because Entomb into Lingering Soul seems like, as just a base level, pretty sweet in a bad way.
Yeah, Torment is an interesting one.
What's the one with the morph creature on the front as the symbol?
Legions?
Yeah, not Legions. That's the third
Onslaught,
set.
You're talking about?
Onslaught.
Onslaught.
Because you get all the cycling.
Yeah.
All that cycle business, mm-hmm. And you get some cool tribal cards to kind of supplement some of the base tribes.
Yeah, it's actually interesting. A lot of like the single fun playable Fetches. Cards over the years we always wanted got reprinted. They reprinted Rancor, so Urza's Legacy is less interesting. They reprinted the Fetches, so Onslaught is like...
But you get the cycle lands.
Yeah, you do get the cycle lands.
You get cycle lands, you get all the tribal lords, you get like... I mean, Goblin Piledriver was reprinted, but I think that's the least important of the kind of different cards because you get...
Maybe you go... I mean, okay, so obviously this is a little controversial, but maybe you just go Tempest because you get the old Slivers. You get a bunch of the old Slivers and you get Wasteland. And
okay.
And it's possible that adding a bunch of Slivers and Wasteland...
I like Tempest. Tempest was a lot of people's answers, and there's definitely cool things in Tempest.
Yeah.
You get cycle lands. You get... I don't know, those are in Urza's.
It's hard to not want to add a whole block. That's the thing. If you add a block, it's a little easier. If you add a set, it's like you get some support from Tempest, but then the Stronghold
this
Exodus
cards.
This
was easier than I wouldn't have asked it.
Yeah.
If you had to delete a color of Magic and combine it with other colors, which color do you delete and which colors do you combine it with?
Okay, so you delete red in my book.
Okay.
And then how do you... replace it, like where do you put its power?
Really, you delete red?
Well, so the question, so just to make sure I completely understand it, is you delete a color and then you're essentially shifting its abilities into another color to smooth it over. I think you delete red and I think you shift red into black. And I think it's because you can, like as far as like black goes, like if they had designed black the whole time to be kind, because black already has the sort of aggressive suicide-y feel that red has in a lot of ways.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a lot of similarities there. And usually, like, black doesn't have direct damage, but black-red spells always feel like they're just, like...
Well, like, black doesn't... But it has, like, what's the difference between Lightning Bolt and -3/-3? Or, like there's a lot of drain spells that are damaged. Like, do 2 damage to the target player and gain 2 life. Like,
right. So I think that you could... I think that the direct damage effect could easily be shifted into black. The things you miss... Like, again, black, goblins, you could... Goblins
black
could be
has
black.
Land destruction.
Yeah, that could all exist. What you miss, though, it's hard
blue
to justify dragons. It's hard to be... It's hard to justify dragons being black.
I don't know if I agree with that, actually.
Really?
So if you look at, like, Tolkien dragons, they're very selfish, hoarding, like, non-emotion-driven, very plotting and maniacal creatures.
Yeah.
So I definitely can see a black... Black dragons, to me, make... maybe the most sense after...
But fire? You lose that element.
No, I think black gains all the fire. I think fire goes into black.
So, okay.
I think actually fire gets split a little bit into green. In yours, I have a different color that I'd get rid of.
Yeah.
But in yours, green gets a little bit of fire because of like the shamanistic fire stuff.
Yeah.
And then black gets most of the fire.
Yeah. All right. So that's my answer.
All right. So I'd get rid of white. I think white very easily a lot of its stuff. Like a lot of it's like people, like cities and people go into blue. A lot of it's token, like a lot of its mechanics can go into green.
Right.
Like, and then all of its removal and destruction stuff of creatures should be blacks. Like black is supposed to be the best creature kill. And black and green both get reanimator effects. So you kind of put all that stuff, like all of it kind of can smush into different things.
Right.
It's like the least, all of its abilities kind of belong to other people, but they come with a cost. So I would move them into other pieces.
That's
discard
fair.
Could be a blue thing pretty easily.
It'd be terrifying. If blue had, if you mono blue decks could play discard and counter spells, oof. That'd be awful.
Sure.
You would
it's not that much.
Are you kidding?
I mean, discard is better.
If you could play a mono blue deck that had like turn one Thoughtseize and then turn two Counterspell or Mana Leak in Modern, like if you could actually just do that, that'd be so just awful.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Okay. But yeah, I hear you. I mean, I think it's a fine answer. I just, for me, I look at it from like the reason.
I mean, like
I look
that's
at,
available in Modern right now is you can just play blue and black and no one's
true.
It's not good.
I think the reason I would reiterate my answer is just that if for my money over the years, it usually just seems like the only thing red ever gets called upon competitively for is burn. Sometimes it's really aggressive decks, but the most consistent thing is like decks will splash red for burn, and so it always feels that way to me. And I don't feel like if red's not adding that much, then why do you need it? Like you can, I feel like you could fold that in. But anyway, let's keep going.
All right. Sorry, I was talking about white, not black. Keep black, get rid of white.
Right.
That's what I said. I started arguing for black going away.
Yeah.
That's weird. So yeah, black would still have discard. White would, like blue would get... Okay, we're moving on.
Yes.
If you could give any legendary creature a Planeswalker Spark, who would you give it to?
It's a really hard question. I looked it through like the entire list of legendary creatures, and I think I would go Joyer of the Gitu. And I think the reason I would do it, not from a flavor perspective, but from a card perspective, it's obviously I love Joyer. If you listen, you know that. But it's also suspend as an ability is just a very cool ability. And that feels like something unique that a Planeswalker would be able to do. Makes a lot more sense coming from a Planeswalker.
Mm-hmm.
From a design perspective, when a player opens a Mythic Rare and it's a Planeswalker and it has this ability and it's described, that feels like the kind of thing that you could read from a Planeswalker and you'd understand, as opposed to a creature with an activated ability.
Sure.
Just harder to kind of wrap your head around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you that as like a minus, and then a plus is some. Okay.
The plus is probably like something. The plus would be like, maybe the plus because it's blue red.
Sure.
The plus is like loot, remove a time counter.
Yeah. If suspend was like a heavily supported.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my first inclination was Geist. I didn't go with Geist. Because Geist is really similar to Gideon. He's really similar to Elsbeth. He doesn't offer that much.
Yeah.
And like as a blue-white planeswalker, I don't... Like he's like very Gideon. Zurgo. So I got to thinking, Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
So in the original Cons Block storyline, Zurgo is Biff.
Okay.
Sarkon is the Marty McFly character. He shows up. There's the bully, kind of always kept him down. He changed the past, and now the bully is like a lame guy whose like job is cleaning his car.
All right.
So imagine Zurgo now figures out that there was a time thing, gains his Planeswalker spark, and starts hunting after Nahiri. And I would love to see that as a storyline.
So your answer...
I want the Biff of the Planeswalker world.
So your answer is almost entirely story-driven.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's kind of what... I mean, like, as an ability side, like, he has cool... You know, a Mardu Planeswalker sounds also pretty sweet.
You're kind of you're a little bit obsessed with making Mardu competitive. Like,
I like Mardu. Mardu's a good color combination. Yeah.
You're always having a little obsessed with making Mardu competitive. Yeah.
Why is green so good? We're almost at the end, which is good because we're running out of time.
I still have to answer my five creatures.
I'll tell you. Actually, the Manasaurus is the one that picked Dinosaur.
Sweet.
As the tribe that is unsupported. And I responded, all I want is this. Oh, and at Marcel MTG is the one that picked Unicorns.
Yeah.
One of the ones.
What else you got?
I'm going. I think we're close to what are your two favorite Magic cards. Let's do those right now because we know the answers to that. Why keep looking? Yeah, that's the last one.
Do we need to answer this again? We've answered so many
times.
Mine's
Geist and Vengevine. Go.
Guys of St. Traft and Vengevine?
Yeah, those are mine.
And I guess mine are Grand Architect and Spellskite. Like,
whoa, no way. We haven't talked about that before.
I will say Delver of Secrets has a really, really, really close place.
Okay.
It's so close.
So, like we're going to thirds?
Well, this podcast and doing this so many episodes on this stuff like has really made it clear how much I like Grand Architect and Spellskite.
Sure.
Spellskite especially. Architect I love, but Architect also like... I have found that since like making that initial deck on my very first episode on this with you, it's been hard for me to find ways to use that card that actually seem modern competitive, and it's
okay.
I feel like it's lost its luster for me a little bit.
Okay.
Whereas like in format after format, I just continue to love playing Delver.
How about this? Not today, yeah. But when we do our 100th episode, which is coming up because this is our 92nd.
Yeah.
Woo!
This is 92.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Our spoiler episode was 91.
Wow.
I was actually sad it wasn't 90. I almost like delayed the episode, but didn't because I decided that would be
we're
going to
be 100 episodes soon.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy. On the 100th episode, I'm going to allow both of us one time deal to change our two favorite cards.
To change it?
As our like the things we say that are our favorite cards. I don't think I think one of them might get kicked off on my end. I think one of them will say
Vengevine get kicked off.
I'm not. No, no, no spoilers.
I know. All right. Well, so okay. That's fair.
Okay.
But
in this, yeah, okay. So what's your dragon and demon Hydra thing?
Okay. I'm basically just deciding on my angel as we speak. So do your sign off, do your goodbyes. Is this
okay? So before Ben, we'll I also have a small non magic subject to talk about a little bit at the end of this. So
okay, well, if you want to do your non magic,
no, we're gonna sign off first. All right.
Do you want me to? I have it. I can.
Okay,
do this.
Go for it.
Okay. So
today's been a weird episode.
Yeah.
Happy 4th of July, by the way. It's actually 4th of July while we're recording this.
Yeah, this is a good one. This is fun. I mean, if you guys, the real point of this is we're sharing our answers, but if you guys have your own answers, you should tweet them in.
Yeah, there was a bunch of really good ones.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
All right, so for Dragon.
Sure.
Kargan Dragonlord.
It's the level up dragon. Oh, that guy's sweet.
It's the level up dragon. It's red. He's a human warrior though, so he's not officially a dragon. So it's right on the edge.
I think Malfagor.
He gets leveled up by one red though, and once he gets to, he never becomes a dragon actually.
Well, he kind of like thematically he's supposed to become a dragon.
But so I think it's a fair answer.
Okay.
Kargan Dragonlord. He's
kind of like the Khaleesi of.
Yeah, he levels up. At level 8, he's an 8-8 flying trample dragon with fire breathing. So the level up cards just always fell short, though. My angel, I picked Sarah Avenger.
Okay.
It's from Time Spiral. It's white for 3/3 flying vigilance. You can't cast Sarah Avenger during your first, second, or third turns of the
game.
How
much better would this be if it was a 3/4? List,
right?
Your list is so far reading... These would all be playable if Lightning Bolt was in the format.
Yeah. Well, I just chose cards that are sweet that I like. That
I did too.
My cards all have...
Admonition Angel is not a good card, but it's awesome.
this
art is glorious.
For Sphinx, I chose Vexing Sphinx.
What is that?
Yeah, exactly. Blue, colorless, 4/4 flying.
A cold snap card, isn't it?
Cumulative upkeep, discard a card. When Vexing Sphinx is put into a graveyard and play, draw a card for each age counter on it. So,
actually, I kind of like this card.
It's a sweet card. This card's always been fringe. Like you,
how much does it cost?
It's a blue one for a 4/4.
Oh, it's a 3 drop.
It's a 3/3 4/4 flyer. Flying?
I need to add this to a dredge wheel that I have. That card's sweet. Okay,
I mean the problem with this card is that if they bounce it after you've discarded all your cards.
Well, that's why I want to put it in a dredge deck.
You get nothing
because I discard. Yeah. I want the discard was something that I wanted.
Yeah. But it's cumulative discard too. But I do think it's a sweet card.
It's a 3-mana 4/4. So I get a swing in for 4, dredge of Vengevine, cast another creature.
I like
it.
My black card, my demon, Treacherous Pit Dweller. Black.
All your things are undercosted with some problem attached to them. Okay.
Black for a 4/3 undying. When
all these are really good with Aether Vial.
Enters the battlefield from a graveyard. Target opponent gains control of it. Also, just the worst against Lightning Bolt.
Wait, is it a 4/3?
Yeah. And then my last one is Primordial Hydra. Which is green X.
This is the like pseudo green sun or
no.
This is Genesis Wave.
This is the double one.
So
at the beginning of your upkeep, double the number of counters on it, and if it has trample, it has 10 or more.
Okay.
So if you like rampant growth effect or some sort of like 2-drop accelerant, then you play this on turn 3. It comes down as just a 2/2, but then doubles to a 4/4, doubles to an 8/8.
Oh, that's Genesis. Okay, I know that card.
This card can get out of hand very
quickly. Yeah. Very quickly. I think beyond Hooded Hydra, the second place, and I didn't pick it because I actually thought it may be too good for me to pick, was Genesis Hydra.
It's too good for you.
Well, because it comes in, it's kind of Bloodbraid Elves.
Yeah, right.
Because it Genesis waves into one thing of the converted mana cost less than how much you cast it for.
Right.
So I thought maybe it actually might be a little bit more playable than I thought, so I didn't want to pick it.
How long has this episode been?
We're at an hour.
Wow.
Yeah. This was supposed to be a 45-minute episode, but...
Well, it looks like we're just doing the one.
Yeah. So sign off.
I guess that's that.
Yeah.
What a weird episode.
I know. Yeah. It was fun, though. I hope you guys liked it. Go on Twitter. We're at the MMCast. You can kind of look for these questions. I feel like based on how much interaction, anytime I have a weird moment of thinking of a bunch of philosophical questions to ask everyone on Twitter, I'm just going to do it in these kind of big spurts once in a while. So it's like probably a good place to start following us, among other places, because we'll do cool interaction there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, occasionally...
I'm at Kes Wiley on Twitter.
I'm at Ben Bateman Media. I tweet... The thing is, if I tweet a Magic thing, I'll sometimes tweet it from my own account, but then I'll just retweet it from Masters of Modern, or I'll just tweet from Masters of Modern.
Oh, yeah.
Because my personal Twitter is filled with followers of different... of mostly a different variety.
Sure.
Don't give two darns about Magic.
I definitely try and keep my Magic-specific ones to... The only time I start tweeting about Magic for mine is when I realize I'm like... arguing with a lot of people about stuff, or like I'm starting an argument, I'm just like, I don't need to put that onto the MMCast Twitter.
In the last poll I did of my Twitter followers, about 15%, or I think something like 10, just over between 10 and 15% were Magic followers.
Okay.
So there's a small, there's at least a portion.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's better, you know, if I tweet, that just retweet from the Masters of Honor account.
All right. Follow us on Facebook at the MMCast. Follow us on YouTube. We're, I think, Top Decking TV on YouTube. It's
just
the one
slash
outlier.
Top Decking.
Or just slash Top Decking.
Yeah, I checked
last night. Check out our Patreon. It does help. The money we get there is how we're able to, you know, if we didn't have the Patreon, we wouldn't have been able to buy a blue mic, which means a couple of weeks ago, two weeks in a row, couldn't record on our normal recording setup, and we wouldn't have had episodes. So it's literally saving the AE podcast. So thank you so much for all the donators. We definitely appreciate you guys. Make sure you check out DMTW Clothing. They're the best. They're really helpful. We're going to be coming out soon. We'll be able to tweet out images of the new playmat we're going to be coming out.
I want to tweet that stuff out so bad.
I know. And there's new card sleeves that we're looking to get made. So there's going to be really cool stuff from those guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you guys next week. There's a chance, because I'm going to be out of town and scheduling might not work out, that we might have the next 2 weeks off. But check in. We'll tweet an announcement and post it to Facebook if that ends up happening.
Probably Comic-Con week will be taken off, but possibly we'll have a show next week.
Yeah, we're trying to do a show next week. Comic-Con, for sure, we're taking that week off.
So go to...
Series. Shut up.
And then, of course, go to rocketjump.com. That's where you can find the episode. Yep. You'll also find the Command Zone there. They're our sister podcast. Yep. Thanks for checking in, guys. We'll see you next week.
Hopefully. Bye.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.